This afternoon, my key text is found in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and the 13th and 14th verses. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Now, this is a very important text because it really brings us back to our Creator. And whatever He has done, we can't add to it or subtract from it. Whether it's our Bibles, we just don't take out parts and say we just don't want to believe that part, or we just don't add things to it. And our food is the same way. We eat the food that He has provided for us, that He has made for us. We don't say, well, I don't like the bulk and fiber in my food, or I don't like those vitamins and minerals. Let's get them out and let's just use some pure refined calories that has no vitamins and minerals with it. We don't do that. Now, working in reconditioning centers and working with rehabilitating patients, we see this text come alive. Because when we get these people and put them back on God's simple natural diet with whole, complete food, we see a miracle taking place in their lives. We see their cholesterol dropping, their blood pressure dropping, their angina, their chest pain leaving, and many other things that all seem to return back to normal when we get people back on the simple, natural food that God has given to us. And these people recover and they get well. And just like the text says, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. It brings us right back to the author and the creator of our lives. What is an unnatural food? How do we differentiate between a natural and an unnatural food? Well, we could get into organic gardening. I won't get into that this afternoon, but I would like to speak with you just strictly of foods as grown. How they are grown is one thing we could talk about, but eating the food as grown is what I'd like to specifically address myself to this afternoon. Because you can take a natural food like sugar cane or sugar beets and remove the sugar out of it by removing all the bulk and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals, and you're left over with nothing but a pure, white, crystalline substance known as sucrose or granulated table sugar. And we could spend many hours this afternoon discussing sucrose and all its detrimental effects. But I'd like to go on. You've probably heard lectures about sugar, detrimental effects. But let me just give you one illustration, one example of what happens when you take the pure refined product without the bulk and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals. When you take these refined foods in, you don't get the vitamins and minerals that God put there in the food for you, and that are really necessary to metabolize that food, for you to digest it and utilize it and turn it into energy in your body. So what happens? Your body requires those B vitamins, those minerals, the other vitamins. It requires those to metabolize that sugar. And if you don't have them, your body's got to pull out of the reserves to metabolize that food. It absolutely requires that you have certain of the B vitamins before you can actually turn your food into energy and use it. And if you're not getting a proper amount, you're not going to feel well. You're not going to feel like you have the energy that you really should. Certain minerals are absolutely required. As an example, one of my favorite minerals, the mineral chromium that makes your bumpers nice and shiny, is a required element in our diet. And in refined sugar and refined flours and other refined foods, you remove most of the chromium so that you don't get it. And chromium is absolutely necessary to move the sugar from your bloodstream into the cell where it can be burned for energy, as well as moving the fat and the cholesterol into the cell where it can be metabolized. And if you don't have chromium, if you're using refined foods for a number of years, many times, many authorities feel that older Americans are deficient in chromium. Their blood sugar goes up, they have what we call an abnormal glucose tolerance curve. And when we give chromium back to these people, their glucose, their blood sugar starts to come back down into the normal range. Well, these people have lived on a depleted diet for many years, and they have been depleted of all the chromium in their body stores. Now, don't rush out and buy a bottle of chromium in the health food store or grocery store or wherever you buy your vitamins and minerals, because it really is a complicated thing. You need the chromium as it comes in a very complex molecule called a glucose tolerance factor. And you just can't buy the element chromium and expect to get any good out of it. So make sure that glucose tolerance factor is with it, and we really don't know where you can get it because the scientists are still trying to manufacture it, still trying to make it. It does come in certain natural foods like the whole grains, certain vegetables. It comes in very minute amounts in almost all natural food. And if you were to use natural food, you'd get all that you would need without having to go and try to find it in a vitamin pill. Well, that just gives you one example of why we need to eat the whole food, because everything is there that we need to metabolize our food and to digest it. Let me give you one other illustration of what happens when we remove all the vitamins and the minerals from our food. And let's go over to the fats. When you take the pure corn or the natural corn and remove all the bulk and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals, you end up with a pure product that you would call corn oil, or the scientists would call a pure triglyceride. And it is nothing more than a fat, an oil, that is pure, triglycerides. Now, oil requires a number of things to keep it from going rancid. And I want you to think about this in context of your body as we go over these things that oil or any fat requires to be rancid. Number one, if you keep a fat in the refrigerator, it'll keep longer. Well, warmth is one thing that fats need or will accelerate them turning rancid. Is your body warm? All right. You have a very warm area up to about 100 degrees inside your body. It not only needs warmth, but it needs oxygen. If you expose the fat to the air, it will turn rancid much faster than if you seal it. Do your tissues have lots of oxygen? They should have if you have good circulation like you should have. And the other thing that will accelerate the fat turning rancid is light. And that's why they put oil many times in brown bottles to keep the light out, because it will accelerate the fat turning rancid. Well, when you're out in the sun, would that criteria be fulfilled? The sunlight striking your skin? Do you know that that bright white light from the sun can actually penetrate all the way down through your skull into the deepest part of your brain? So we have all those criteria met for fat turning rancid or oxidizing. Now, when you eat the natural corn, you get all those things in the corn. You get the bulk and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals and everything that God put in there that prevents that fat from turning rancid. Prevents that fat from oxidizing. In fact, those vitamins and minerals that do that are called antioxidants. Now, do you know the names of any antioxidants? Let's name a few of them. Vitamin E is an excellent antioxidant. Vitamin C, another excellent antioxidant. Vitamin A does a fairly good job, but its precursor, carotene, is a much better antioxidant. Now, where do you find carotene? All the beautiful, highly colored fruits and vegetables. Of course, carotene, I guess, gets its name after carrots because carrots are so rich in carotene. But all the beautiful colored fruits and vegetables are just rich in carotene. So carotene is a beautiful antioxidant. Now, selenium is another antioxidant. Now, selenium is a mineral, a trace mineral that you need in your diet. And it works very nicely to help protect the fat to keep it from turning rancid. So the natural corn or the beans or the grains where you're getting your oil out of is loaded with these antioxidants. And they protect that oil so it can sit out there in a grain field in the bright sun on a hot day with lots of oxygen around and it won't become rancid. But what happens when you take that oil and run it through the great big factory belching black smoke and bring it down to a pure triglyceride that's been stripped of all the vitamins, all the antioxidants, all the carotene, all the vitamin C, and the vast majority of the vitamin E, what happens to that oil? Now, when you take that and put it in your tissues, without all those things around there that God uses to protect that oil, let's find out and see what happens to that fat. If we could have our slides, we'll just turn the projector on. Skip over to the next slide. Now here we have an example. Could you lower that just slightly? Here we have an example of a cell. This is one cell. Here's a nucleus here. And here's some little bodies inside this cell called mitochondria. And these mitochondria are vitally important. And we'll come back to those a little later on. Because those mitochondria, you can see them scattered all throughout the cell here. Those mitochondria are the energy houses for the cell. That's where you take your food and burn it down to carbon dioxide and water and produce all the energy so that your body can have energy to get out and take a nice walk or to jog or to run. Whatever you need the energy for, right there inside the cell in those little organs called mitochondria is where the energy is produced. Now anything that damages those mitochondria is going to cut down your ability to produce energy. Now that cell needs energy not only to maintain itself, it constantly has to repair itself and take care of itself so it can maintain its structure and carry on all its functions. And in addition to that, any work that that cell has to do, it needs extra energy for. Like if you're out jogging, those mitochondria really have to turn on and turn out the energy so you'll have that energy to get down the road. So we want to make sure those mitochondria stay in good condition, in good shape. Well, now it's pretty hard to see, but you can see some little blue lines coming down through the top part there. Those represent sunlight striking this cell. Now, unfortunately, this person that is being represented here by this cell has been one that's been taken in by the modern philosophy that you need to eat a lot of the refined polyunsaturated fat. Somehow God messed up a little bit. He didn't put quite enough in the natural grains and the seeds and the nuts. And you've got to add more to your food. So here this person has been dumping a lot of polyunsaturated fat. They spread their bread with margarine and their toast with margarine, and they use mayonnaise and they fry with oil. Well, this person is having the sunlight strike his skin. And when the sunlight strikes those polyunsaturated fats, they go rancid. And when they go rancid, they emit particles called free radicals. And those free radicals rip and tear and destroy the cell. Now last night, those of you who were here, we talked about another little organ inside the cell called a lysosome. Remember how those lysosomes last night were able to produce a poison and to kill the bacteria? Well, now, we wouldn't want that poison to be dumped out in that cell, would we? Because it could do a lot of damage if it was just turned loose free out there inside that cell. Well, let's go on to our next slide. And look what's happened. That free radical represented by that comet is coming down here and it's hit that lysosome and it's starting to splash the poison out. And this other free radical is heading down this way. Let's go on and see what happens here. That poison has gone on out through the cell. It's gone up here and damaged this mitochondria. It's damaged this one down here. It's damaged this one over here. And look at this. It's done tremendous damage out there. And here this one has come down here and knocked a hole in the cell. Now, what's going to happen to this person in their ability to burn their food, combine it with oxygen, and produce energy if the very place that is done has been knocked out? And we know this works because scientists have discovered that when this happens, these free radicals start happening in the cell, that cell takes in less oxygen and is able to produce less energy as those mitochondria are knocked out and destroyed. Now this gives you just an example of the wall of one of those mitochondria. It's kind of made up of enzymes here along the outside edge. And these enzymes all have a function. They all help break that food down into carbon dioxide and water. And on the inside you have the polyunsaturated fat represented by those golden globules. And these dark areas here are represented by vitamin E. And you notice that here's some darker areas of fat there, polyunsaturated fat. That fat has started to turn rancid. But what has happened to those free radicals? They've shot over here and been caught by the vitamin E. Now this person here has been eating whole grain breads and cereals and been eliminating a lot of the polyunsaturated fats. He gets his polyunsaturated fats out of the natural foods. And he has lots of vitamin E. Look at the vitamin E. Well, let's take a look at someone else who hasn't been quite so careful in their diet. You notice there's only a vitamin E there and there's one over there. And here's the fat starting to turn rancid. And it goes up here and punches a hole in there. And it goes down here and does some damage. It's just starting to cause some damage in there. And let's go on and see what would happen. Well, here's someone that just has very little bit out there in their cell. Just one over there. And look what's happening over here. These fats are just doing some terrible damage throughout that cell. And here's a cell as an end product of this free radical damage, of these polyunsaturated fats turning rancid. It's kind of a hollow cell. Just kind of a ghost cell. Well, this is what happens when you use the food that is different from the way that God has made it for us. When you take the food and decide, well, all I want is that rich-tasting, fatty taste, that oily taste. I don't want the vitamins and minerals that God put there with it. Let's extract all those out. And sure enough, those fats go rancid in your tissues and cause some tremendous problems. Well, what do they really look like in the cell? Scientists can look at these cells under a microscope and they can actually see these polyunsaturated fats in the tissues that have gone rancid. They look like dark pigments. Let's look at some. Now, this is a four-month-old mouse. This is a nerve cell, and there's very few pigments. You can see a little dark area here, a few up there, but not very much pigment at all in this tissue. Now, this is only a four-month-old mouse. But look, let's look at a mouse that is about 18 months old that has been fed these polyunsaturated fats. Now look at the pigments. See the dark areas in there? Well, let's look at some slides of some actual human tissues of a 70, 80-year-old man and see what kind of situation his tissues look like. Look at all the damage those free radicals have caused. They're rancid fat. Tremendous damage. Let's take another look at it. Just look all the way through the tissues. Tremendous damage has been done here in this 79-year-old man. Well, this just gives you an example of what happens when we use these refined fats and we don't get the things that God put along with it. Well, it seems like Americans, and we can turn the slides off now, it seems like Americans are using more and more of these refined fats. You see, in 1909, the average amount of oil consumed was only about a pound and a half per person a year. And by 1972, it shot up to 18 pounds, and it is increasing rapidly as Americans are getting on the polyunsaturated kick. And by 1985, they project that it'll be at least 25 pounds per person. Now that's almost 3 or 4 gallons of pure oil a year for each person in the United States. It's a tremendous increase in the amount of oil, and it's going up markedly every year as more and more are using the polyunsaturated oil. Let's spend a little bit of time, and there's a lot of confusion between what is a fat and what is cholesterol. And I'd like to spend just a few moments with you making sure that you understand that, because most people don't know the difference between fat and cholesterol. First of all, we want to lay down some rules about cholesterol. Cholesterol is always found in animal products. Always found in animal products. It is never found in vegetable products. Now that's a rule that you don't have to worry about being violated. But I'm sure if I ask you a question, that there'd be a number in this room that would get it wrong. Let's try and see. What about coconuts? Do they have cholesterol in them?
And I hear some yeses and some noes.
Do you remember the rules that I gave you? There is never any cholesterol in vegetable products in the vegetable kingdom. So, are coconuts in the vegetable kingdom? I believe they are. So they would not have any cholesterol in them, would they? Now, contrary to all that you've ever believed and all that you've ever heard, coconuts do not have any cholesterol in them. And I've been read the Riot Act over that several times. But somehow the textbooks of nutrition and biochemistry bear me out every time. The vegetable kingdom just does not have any cholesterol in it. They always get that confused with saturated fat, which coconuts have. Now, what about fish? Do they have cholesterol in them? Yes, they belong in the animal kingdom. And this is another thing that confuses people. They think that if they get rid of the red meat, they're not getting cholesterol anymore. Why? They can eat all the fish and chicken they want, and that has no cholesterol. But it has just as much cholesterol in it as beef or pork or some of the other red meats. So, we must understand that in the animal kingdom, you always find cholesterol. In the vegetable kingdom, you always never find cholesterol. All right. What does cholesterol look like? Let's draw a little picture of it here. Now you notice cholesterol looks like it has a whole lot of rings in it. It's called a steroid molecule. Now I don't want you to get the impression that cholesterol is all bad from my lectures, because cholesterol really goes into making up many important things in the body. It goes into making vitamin D by just changing things just a little bit on this ring, but the ring structure still stays, and that's what vitamin D looks like. The body manufactures its own cortisol, and it manufactures it out of cholesterol. And it changes just a little bit. Maybe it'll put a little molecule of oxygen and hydrogen there on one side. And then that's cortisol. It's not cholesterol anymore. And the sex hormones, the male hormones, it makes out of cholesterol. The female hormones are made out of cholesterol. So cholesterol isn't all bad, because it's used in the body to manufacture a number of important things. But we must understand that cholesterol is a ring structure, and that it's never found in the vegetable kingdom. It's always found in the plant kingdom. Wait, it's always found in the animal kingdom, cholesterol. Okay, now what does fat look like? Triglycerides. And you've probably had your triglycerides measured by your physician. Triglycerides is just a fancy name for the oil or the fat in your blood. And tri meaning three, and glycerol, you've probably used glycerol for something. You can buy it in the drug food store. Well, let's represent glycerol just by a straight back like that. And then the triglyceride, the tri meaning three fatty acids attached to the glycerol. So here we have it. Looks almost like a big E. And that's fat. Now that could be saturated fat or it could be unsaturated fat. Unsaturated fat has two bonds in between carbon atoms that make up the chain here. Saturated fat only has the one bond. So it's just the way those carbon atoms are hooked together as to whether saturated fat or unsaturated fat. So remember that fat
we'll abbreviate cholesterol like that. Now, don't get those confused. One rule we can lay down for the kind of fat that you find in animal tissues is predominantly saturated fat, but all animal tissues have polyunsaturated fat in them too. It's just that the majority of the fat is saturated. And there's exceptions. Fish have more polyunsaturated fat. Now, if we look at the vegetable kingdom, the majority of the fat is polyunsaturated. But there's a lot of saturated fat also in vegetable products. Now, there's exceptions where the majority of the fat in the coconut is saturated. Well, so this gives you a little background into what is the difference between cholesterol and fat. Now, cholesterol, when you refine that down, it becomes a pure crystalline white substance, pure crystalline powder. But fat, when you refine that down, it becomes corn oil, or safflower oil, or soy oil, or sesame oil, or whatever kind of oil you got it out of. Or it could be lard, it could be butter, and it would depend upon how much saturation or unsaturation that you're getting it from that source. So this gives you a little background, and let's go on from there and build with your understanding of the difference between cholesterol and fat. Because you always need cholesterol and fat working together to produce atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. Now that's a good rule that you really need to remember, because the early researchers that were working with cholesterol, this product here, they took the pure crystalline white cholesterol and they fed it to the experimental animal's diet. They found it in their arteries and they said it must come from the diet. It must be cholesterol that's causing the cholesterol deposits in the arteries. So let's feed cholesterol to these animals and let's see if we can't produce the hardening of the arteries. So these researchers fed cholesterol and they fed it just saturated the diet with this cholesterol. And they were amazed because all the cholesterol passed right on through these animals. Cholesterol by itself just passes right on through. Even though these animals' diet had some natural fat in the grains and the seeds and the alfalfa that they were being fed, that didn't seem to make any difference at all. And they just about threw the whole theory that cholesterol causes atherosclerosis out the window. Until finally one researcher discovered that if he took some fat, and he used corn oil at the time, and he mixed this corn oil with the cholesterol, and then he fed it in the diet. And after a few weeks, he checked the blood cholesterol of these experimental animals, and the cholesterol had gone up. And after a number of months had gone by, he looked at their arteries, and sure enough, he was getting cholesterol deposits in the arteries. And this cholesterol was now being absorbed, where before it was passing right on out. Now this is a very important concept that we need these two together. Because invariably in all the scientific literature, when you combine any kind of fat, this substance here, with cholesterol in the diet, you develop atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. Now let me give you an example. One researcher, Dr. Whistler from the University of Chicago, took three groups of monkeys. And he divided these monkeys up into three different groups, but he gave them exact same diet. And all three of the diets had cholesterol in it. And all three of the diets had fat in them. But they had different kinds of fat in the diet. Group number one had corn oil. Group number two had peanut oil. And group number three had butter. Now, just from your background of experience, after a few weeks, he measured their blood cholesterol, each of the groups of monkeys, on the corn oil and on the butter and on the peanut oil. Which group do you think had the very highest cholesterol? The butter group, and you're exactly right. Sure enough, the group that was getting the butter fat, they had the very highest cholesterol. Now, which group had the lowest cholesterol? The group on the peanut oil. That was even better than corn oil for lowering the cholesterol. My, that researcher thought, peanut oil is going to take over the market. Why, it's the most, when it comes to lowering cholesterol. It really does the job. It's much better than corn oil. So this researcher waited a number of months, and then he went in and he autopsied these monkeys. And he looked at their arteries. What do you think he discovered? The group on the corn oil had 62% of the surface of their artery covered with atherosclerosis and cholesterol plaques. The group on the butter fat had 82%. And the group on the peanut oil had 93% of the surface of their arteries covered with atherosclerosis and cholesterol plaques. 93% on the peanut oil. And where do we say their blood cholesterol was? It was the very lowest. So by the very fact that you can say that polyunsaturated fats will lower your blood cholesterol does not necessarily mean that your arteries are not becoming caked up with cholesterol plaques. I see many vegetarians who are on a cholesterol-free diet or just using a little cholesterol in their diet that are using lots of polyunsaturated fat. They wouldn't think of using lard or butter or any other kinds of animal fats. No, no, no. They wouldn't use those. They use margarine and a good corn oil brand of margarine. And they use mayonnaise that's polyunsaturated. And they use oil to fry their food in. And yet these people, when we check them out, we find their arteries are full of atherosclerotic plaques, hardening of the arteries. So it doesn't give you immunity just because you're using polyunsaturated fat. And there's many out there advising you to use so many tablespoons of polyunsaturated fat in your diet because it'll lower your blood cholesterol. But they need to look one step farther and see what that is doing to your arteries. So you'll understand what I'm speaking about. Here we have a blood vessel. Here's the wall around the blood vessel. And here we have someone who's eating a lot of fat, any kind of fat and cholesterol, and they have cholesterol in their blood. Let's take the next step. And by the very wear and tear of the blood passing through those arteries, and also the damage that can be done to those arteries by certain things in your diet, and we'll come back to that in a few moments or a little later on this afternoon as to what is actually happening in those arteries that damages those arteries. Certain thing we eat in our diet. But here we have wear and tear and damage done to the artery. And What happens in that area where you get the damage done? You get blood clots filling up that area, platelets, and substances that actually stimulate the growth of the muscle cells in the outside of this artery wall. Now, the smooth muscles in these artery walls have started to proliferate out in here, and it fills up with cholesterol and protein substances all out and through there, and you just have a very small area in here left for the blood to flow. And finally, there's the only space left for the blood to flow. And that's what atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries does, is all these cholesterol plaques fill up the artery. And then when it closes off altogether, you can have a heart attack or a stroke. And you'll be in very serious trouble then. Well, that gives you the background into atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. Now, last night we talked about how polyunsaturated fats could knock out the immune system. And do you know that when you knock out the immune system of your body, the immune system is a system that is used to fight off infectious diseases, used to fight off cancer cells. When you knock out the immune system, your body has no protection against cancer anymore. Now, to illustrate this, here's the incidence of cancer in a normal person. Now, here's a person who has had a kidney transplanted into their body, and they've had to take drugs to suppress their immune system. And look at the incidence of cancer in these people that take these immune-suppressing drugs. There's over 80 times the amount of cancer in these people that take these immune-suppressing drugs. Over 80 times. And the predominant type of cancer that we find here among these people is skin cancer. The immune system is very valuable when it comes to suppressing cancer in the skin, especially that cancer that is associated with sunlight. And that's why it's so important that we keep our immune systems functioning and in good order. And we don't want to damage them by eating a lot of sugar and a lot of free, refined oils and fats. Because you're going to suffer the consequences when you do knock your immune system out. There's a real problem with the kinds of fat in the diet. It's bad enough to use the pure, refined oils that they extract out of these natural products. But when you take those pure, natural oils that can do tremendous damage in the body by themselves, and always when you combine them with cholesterol, they're going to cause atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. But you can take those pure natural oils and change them chemically and do tremendous damage in the body by doing this. Let's show you what happens. Now here we have the polyunsaturated form of the natural fat. That's somewhat what it looks like as as it comes in nature. And then when they run it through a process, they call it partially hydrogenation or partially hardening the fat. And what happens? They kind of straighten it out. So it's no longer the way that nature has formed it. Well, what difference does that make whether they change the shape of that polyunsaturated fat? Well, now here's the wall of a cell. And you see how these polyunsaturated fats link together to form a chain where nothing can come through. A good solid wall here. But what has happened here? When you ate some of those partially hardened fats and you get a straight chain, that just doesn't fit into the wall, does it? And you could see the substances could get into the cell that shouldn't be there. Let's go one step farther here. Now here's a normal cell. You notice your mitochondria in here again, little red things, and your nucleus in the middle. And on the outside you have the wall that's made out of those polyunsaturated fats. And look how they link together, so that nothing can get through. Now let's show you the cell of someone that's using the average amount of partially hydrogenated fat that the average American is using, where they're getting about 14% of their fat in the form of these partially hydrogenated fats. And it is almost impossible for you to go into the store and buy a loaf of bread or buy any other packaged good or buy a TV dinner that does not have those partially hydrogenated fats. They're in everything now. They don't use the natural fat anymore. They partially harden it. Partially hardened polyunsaturated fat. And of course your margarine. That's all it is those partially hardened fats. Up to about 50% of them in there. And your Crisco has about 60%. But even your purest corn oil have up to 5%. And some of them are even much higher than that, up to 15 and 20%. Some of your oils. And let's look at a cell and see what they look like when you're using what the average American is using. Look what's happened to the mitochondria. They've become swollen. And these mitochondria, they produce very little energy when they're all swollen up like that. How do you think you're going to feel trying to jog down the road with swollen mitochondria from all those partially hydrogenated fats? Unwanted salt and sodium can come inside the cell. Cancer-producing substances can get into the cell. And this cell wall is a very, very poor barrier because of those partially hydrogenated fats that are straight, that can't be incorporated into the chain very well. Well, this just gives you an illustration of what they're doing to our diet. The way they chemically change it, and what result it has on our cells in our bodies. It's bad enough to take those pure oils that don't have the vitamins and minerals and let them ransack the cell and do their damage. But then when you add the problem of partial hydrogenation, partially hardened fats to it, then you really run into a lot of trouble in these cells. You may get up in the morning and get a little work done and you feel tired. Those mitochondria aren't producing the energy that you need. feel fatigued and beat all day long. Those mitochondria aren't responding and producing the kind of energy you need. They're plugged up with those partially hydrogenated fats. They're damaged by those free radicals from a lack of the antioxidants that's so necessary to protect them. Well, that's a good stopping place. And we will come back a little later on this afternoon and continue where we left off. Thank you very much.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.